Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Thank you for tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today is Monday, April 24th. Today we will be discussing the second of the assigned lectionary texts for the week of April 23rd, the second Sunday in Easter. So yesterday, if you joined me, we talked about the first of two assigned New Testament lectionary texts, and that was from Acts chapter 2. And then today we'll be moving on to the Psalm. So before we get going into this, how is your week going? You know, it is Monday, and sometimes Mondays can be a little rough for people. My own Monday is going fine so far. I have been struggling with migraines this week, which are never good. I'm grateful that I don't get the kind that last for days on end, but they're still never fun. And when they do finally go away, I always feel slightly hungover, I guess. You know, you just have that bleh feeling. So I'm struggling with that. And the pain meds that I have that help alleviate the pain also make me slightly loopy. So if I sound a little strange during this podcast, it's just that. Don't take it. Just work with me, please. So it's a Monday. It's a migraine. It's another M word. I should have a good alliteration going there. But I hope your week is going well. I hope if this is the start of your work week that you're having a good day. And yeah, so we're going to talk about some Bible texts today, and hopefully it'll help you get a good start off to your week. So as I mentioned, we will be switching to the Psalm today, assigned for this week of April 23rd. And that Psalm is Psalm 16 in its entirety. And that Psalm is as follows. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble, in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So again, that is the assigned reading, the second assigned reading for the week of April 23rd, Psalm 16. It's in its entirety. There are 11 verses in that psalm. And I am wondering, as always, what you heard in that psalm. What jumped out at you? For me, as I have brought up in the last several podcasts, we get that reference to the right hand again. And until it had been pointed out to me, I'd never really paid attention. But now, after last week, when we were reading the commentary on last week's psalm, Psalm 118, and I said, keep an eye out for the mentions of the right hand. Now we're seeing it feels like everywhere. Isn't that always the way, where you start noticing something over and over again? And it's probably because these are certain texts assigned for the Easter season. You know, it's going to make sense that there's going to be some themes in there. But the difference here is that it's not referring to God's right hand. It is saying that God is at my right hand. But I think it probably is kind of in that same theme, in that same reference to God as comfort and strength. If God is your right hand, then certainly you have the comfort and strength of God. It could still refer to those acts of salvation, throughout history, or at least how we perceive God acting in history, because this is verse 8, and it says, I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. And, you know, if you want to be really literal, you can say, how is God before you and at your right hand? But don't be that literal. Although sometimes I have a tendency to be really literal, and I can get stuck on stuff like that. But I keep the Lord always before me. It doesn't mean, you know, literally in front of you. It doesn't mean tangibly right smack in front of you. But I keep the Lord always forefront in my mind, or forefront in my thoughts, or always, you know, affecting my actions. And then because he is at my right hand, and then you keep God always in the forefront of your mind because of the way God acts throughout history. God acts in all of those saving ways throughout history and is therefore our comfort and our strength. And the verse does conclude, I shall not be moved. So if God is our comfort and strength, that does make sense. Now, Psalm 16 is often described as a psalm of trust, and you can probably get that from what we just read. But I just moved the mic and it squeaked, so if you heard that, I apologize. There are numerous different types of psalms in the book of Psalms. So there are several different categories, and this one is under the category of trust psalms. And trust psalms express faith and confidence in God amid great difficulties, threats, and danger. So we often experience this in Psalms, right, where there is the psalmist who is experiencing some kind of conflict, some kind of stress, some kind of danger in his or her life, but they still express trust that God is with them in this. God is there. God is protecting them. God will bring them through this. If you want to know the other trust psalms, in case you ever want to look them up or mark them in your Bible as such, the trust psalms in the book of Psalms are 11, 16, which we just read, 23, 27, 46, 52, 63, 121, 125, 129, and 131. And hopefully I sewed those slowly in case you wanted to write them down, but the nice thing about podcasts is you can always rewind in case you wanted to write them down. I felt like I was, I don't know, calling bingo numbers or something there for a minute, but if that's something that you find helpful, I always like to make notes in my Bible about these things, you know, so that later on as I'm looking through, I see my note and say, oh, hey, look, that's a trust psalm. So I find those things helpful. But Psalm 16, a trust psalm, it is a psalm in which we see the psalmist declaring faith again in God. And verse 2, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. And the note in my study Bible says, I say, you know, that's the way the verse starts, I say to the Lord. This declaration of faith emphasizes the difference between the psalmist and his enemies. So, protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. So immediately we are setting apart, the psalmist is setting him or herself apart from his or her enemies, saying that the difference in us is that I know I have you on my side. I know you are my Lord. I know that I have no good apart from you. And they do not say that. Verses 3 and 4 then explains why. Because those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. And the translation of these verses is a little bit uncertain, but it's clear that the psalmist is surrounded by people who are worshiping false gods in disturbing and possibly dangerous ways. I mean, we see their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names upon my lips. So the psalmist is standing fast in his own faith. He is putting all of his trust in God. And then 5 and 6 describe a goodly heritage. The psalmist is a priest, so that's helpful. The psalmist is a priest who delights in his calling. The word cup symbolizes ritual acts of thanksgiving. portion, lot, and boundary lines refer to God's distribution of the land among the people. The priestly tribe of Levi was given no land. So the Lord and offerings to the Lord were their portion. So this is saying that, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel were all given portions of land, but the priestly tribes were not. So their portion was a little different. Their portion was offerings to the Lord. So that is an explanation of verses 5 and 6. And then 7 through 11, there's a little note. My heart is glad, my body also rests secure. And the note says that bodily images are used to describe the psalmist's love for and trust in God. So those are the notes from my study Bible, which I always find helpful. If you don't have a study Bible, I highly recommend them. They do give you different ways of thinking about the text. Often they have questions in the margins for you to think about, maybe thought starter questions, and they have notes that help explain a few things. My study Bible happens to be a Lutheran study Bible, so it gives the Lutheran perspective on things. I'm sure you can get one from your own tradition that would give you perspective from the scholars in your own tradition. Or you can just get just a general study Bible. I think they're great. I'm not being paid to give you a study Bible commercial. I just find them really helpful and would encourage you to get one if you want to do more studying on your own. I do want to talk more about Psalm 16, but we are going to take our first break. So stay tuned and I will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about Psalm 16, which is assigned for the week of April 23rd. And we have been talking about how it is a psalm of trust. It describes the psalmist is a priest and is describing his trust in the Lord, despite his being surrounded by enemies or being surrounded by they're described as enemies, but by people who worship false gods, who worship false idols, who have some questionable practices in their religious life. And the psalmist is saying, but I trust in God. I know that God has my back. I know that God holds me in safety and comfort and will take care of me regardless of the people who are surrounding me, who are maybe trying to pervert my own sense of faith, etc. So I do want to look at some commentary on this psalm, and this commentary is by the same commentator that we talked about that I looked at last week, and that's Carl Jacobson, who is the associate pastor at the Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I can say that, really. And so he says that in the context of Easter, Psalm 16 proposes a contrast of sorts between the holy ones in verse 3 and those who choose another god in verse 4. So let's read on and find out what he is referring to here. He says, this contrast is set within the opening and closing verses of the psalm. The opening verse is a call for help. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. While the closing verse is an affirmation of trust. And of course, this is a trust psalm, so that makes sense. You show me the path of life. This contrast lies between the present reality of need, expressed in the words protect me, and the hoped for reality of deliverance, expressed in the words in your presence there is fullness of joy. And this implies a decision of sorts. To say of the Lord, you are my Lord, or to choose some other god. So this is an interesting way of looking at this kind of a dilemma that the psalmist is going through. The psalmist's answer, he writes, is clear. verse 2 offers her declaration of intent. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Here again, we have Lord and Lord, which is kind of funny. But yes, the word Lord, capital L, with O-R-D in small caps, is the Hebrew name for God, Yahweh. And Lord, capital L, with lowercase O-R-D, is the translation of the Hebrew word Adonai, which means Lord or Master. So you get the same word, Lord and Lord, and this is something, again, I like to write in my Bible a lot, so if you want to indicate that Lord in all caps is the word, the Hebrew name for God, that's Yahweh, and then capital L, but then lowercase O-R-D, translation of the Hebrew word Adonai, which means Lord or Master. And Jacobson goes on to say, the psalmist's theological declaration of intent pairs these words to say, absent any confusion, that Yahweh is her Lord and God. Lord, Master, God. Definitely no questions asked. So the bulk of the body of the psalm, he says, that follows is an extension of what it means that God, Yahweh, is my Lord. Then, you know, that's capital L, small O-R-D. The key word there is my. Four more times the word my is used in the psalm to expand on theology at work. The Lord is called in this psalm my chosen portion, my cup, and my lot. And those are all in Psalm 16, verse 5. And the Lord is described as being at my right hand in 16:8. He says, to claim God as my Lord brings an intimacy, a closeness, and a provision that is entirely dependent on God. The lot of the psalmist is cast entirely with the Lord. Portion and cup are also found together in Psalm 11:6, in which the portion of their cup, there being the wicked, shall be a scorching wind. Portion and cup, in both of these cases, both Psalm 11 and Psalm 16, are relational. One gets in kind what one deserves in these psalms, and this is used to call upon God to deliver the prayer by providing the portion and cup of the one who is in the right relationship with God. So that's interesting. So we get this intimacy with God. God is called, you know, the word my is used, which then brings an intimacy to the relationship, brings an intimacy to this psalm. But then it's interesting to me to how the commentator describes portion and cup, and how it's almost how we would think of maybe karma or a karmic reaction. So you get what you get what you deserve, basically. In Psalm 11, the wicked are given a scorching wind. That is their portion and cup. They are not given a good result. But in this, the portion and the cup in Psalm 16, it's used in this trust, right? The psalmist is expecting better results because the psalmist is saying, you are my God, you are my Lord and Master, my God. I put all of my faith in you. And so this is used to call upon God to deliver the psalmist by providing the portion and the cup when the psalmist is in right relationship with God. So it's very intimate. It's very relational. It's all very very, very immediate, there's the word that I'm looking for the psalmist who is praying to God to deliver him or her from their current situation, trying to emphasize their relationship with God. You are my God. I am putting my faith in you. So I understand that, you know, as I put my faith in you, you will be there. You will deliver me from the circumstances that I am in. He says, another striking element of Psalm 16 is just how much the psalmist is given over to and then influenced by calling the Lord my Lord. And again, the word my is key. In contrast to those who choose another God, our psalmist will not take their names upon my lips. The antecedent of there is ambiguous and may mean that the psalmist will not speak the names of the unrighteous who have turned away from the Lord. But in the context of the comparison which the psalm sets up, He says, I am inclined to take there as referring to any other God than the Lord, which either one makes sense. But I think I tend to agree with Jacobson on this, that there is probably referring to those other gods that are being called upon or worshiped or idolized by the people to whom the psalmist is referring, saying, my Lord is the one in whom I put my trust. My God is you, God, and I put my trust in you. So much so that I'm not even going to let those other idols, those other so-called gods, I'm not even going to let their names cross my lips, regardless of what the people around me are doing. So even though this is only 11 verses, the psalm, we get a really good picture of what's going on, and we get a lot of insight into the prayer and the psalm of trust, etc. And again, we are going to talk more about this, but we will take our second break, and when we come back, we will conclude our Bible study on Psalm 16, assigned for the week of April 23rd. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about Psalm 16, which is the psalm assigned for the as part of the lectionary for Sunday, April, the week of Sunday, April 23rd. And I was mentioning earlier how much I like study Bibles and the notes that are in the margins, as well as the questions. And I read you one of the questions yesterday in yesterday's podcast that referred to Acts, the Acts reading. And I was looking again during the break at the study, the notes in the margin of my study Bible for Psalm 16. And the question here is, how do you prepare to enter into God's presence? Isn't that interesting? First off, I think we need to ask the question, where do you find God's presence? Is it in church? Is it somewhere else? Is it in the presence of other people? How do you define that presence of God? Where do you find God's presence? And when you know that you are going to be in God's presence, how do you prepare to enter into it? Many traditions have symbolic acts of ways that you can prepare to enter into God's presence. You know, in some places you take your shoes off before you enter a sacred space. In some places there's a baptismal font right as you enter the sanctuary, and many people are encouraged to either pause and acknowledge the baptismal font, remembering their baptism, etc. You can dip your fingers in the water, make the sign of the cross. Some traditions, you are encouraged to make the sign of the cross before you sit down, you know, acknowledging that you have entered the presence of God. So I'm curious what your tradition might do, as well as what you personally do when you enter into the presence of God. And one thing about being a pastor is that things are both you have more and less ritual. So let me expand on that a little bit. So as a pastor, before worship, I would put on my alb. I would put on my stole that was the color of the season. So liturgical seasons in many traditions, the church year goes by season. So Easter, the season is white. You may notice in your own sanctuary that the the linens or the paraments on the altar, maybe even the pulpit, are white because it's Easter, and those colors will change. Often the pastor's stole will match those. So there is that moment of putting on the alb and the stole. And for me, that was often kind of the way that I got ready. It was like shifting from, okay, I am in this role and now I'm about to go in and lead worship. I'm about to go and celebrate the Eucharist with my family, with the body of Christ. And so there was that transitional period. Now, being the pastor, you often have a lot of things going on a Sunday morning. And so while that's why I say it's often more simple and often more complicated. So sometimes the putting on of that alb and that stole was that moment. I am entering into the presence of God. I am entering into the presence of my brothers and sisters in Christ. And some mornings it was like, oh my gosh, I am so behind. I got to get going. I got to get this on. I got to make sure I have everything. Do I have my notes? Do I have this? Is that there? Is this sitting here? And so it was less of that specific moment of me about to enter into the presence of God. So I'm curious if you have anything that you do when you enter into the presence of God, whether that's going to worship on Sunday or, as I said, however it is that you do. I'd love to hear from you. You can always hit me up on social media and leave your comments or questions. You can find us, as I said before, Facebook, Twitter. Those are probably the best ways to leave comments and interact. But I just found that a helpful and interesting thought question. How do you prepare to enter into the presence of God? And so I leave you with that. And then we will go back to this psalm that we are talking about, Psalm 16. And we were looking at commentary from Carl Jacobson, who is writing about Psalm 16. And we were talking before the break about the intimacy of a lot of the wording in this psalm, how the word my is used a lot, referring to my God, as opposed to the false gods that are being worshipped by the psalmist's so-called enemies. So, my lips will not speak their names. My lips will not speak any other name than that of the Lord. The psalmist argues that the confession of lips has an effect on the rest of the body. So this kind of goes with our question, right, of how do you prepare to enter into the presence of the Lord? Are you preparing with your whole body? And do you experience worship with your whole body? We say things, you know, we use our lips. We say a lot of things during the worship service. We sing, maybe. Does that affect your whole body? I think that's an interesting way to look at this. He goes on to say in verse 7 of Psalm 16, my heart instructs me because of the counsel of the Lord, which leads to my heart being glad, my soul rejoicing, and my body resting secure. So look at this progression. My lips will not speak the names, any of those names of the false God. Then that leads to my heart being glad, my soul rejoicing, my body resting secure. The fundamental claim, he says, of the psalm is that in the Lord there is security, joy, comfort, deliverance, and protection. When one says to the Lord, you are my Lord, the lot is cast. The inheritance is insured. The confession of faith and that which is trusted are bound together. And so the aim of the psalm is the same as its claim, to invite all who read/hear it to join in claiming the Lord as God, to say, say to this God, you are my Lord, and so be one with our God. I love this. I love, you know, what we say with our lips affects our whole body. It affects our heart, our feelings, right? It affects our soul, our being, our whole being. It affects our body. Do you feel, another question, I know I'm asking a lot of questions in this, but do you feel differently after worship? And I know sometimes, you know, it's kind of hard, things get busy, but do you ever come out of worship or Bible study or prayer with a friend or whatever it is after you've been in the presence of God, after you've been in the presence of your brothers and sisters in Christ? Does your entire body ever feel differently? Do you ever feel surrounded by love and comfort and all of those things that the psalm is talking about? We say with our lips, we say the words of the liturgy of the church service, or we sing the songs, or we say the words as we read them in our Bible. If it's a Bible study, we say the words of prayer. Is your body ever changed by that? How do you feel after you've been in the presence of God? And so I like that. I'm going to think more about that. So Jacobson concludes his commentary with, Easter Sunday provides a certain sort of context for this contrast and this invitation. Will we choose a God who suffers and dies? Do we trust that it is to the cross and through the grave that the path of life runs? Shall we believe this unbelievable counsel that in Christ Jesus, God has chosen us and shown us this way? Can we drink of his cup? And so I asked you a lot of questions, and now this commentary is leaving you with some more questions to ponder as you ponder the text, as you go through this Easter season, as you go through your Monday. What are you thinking about today? Because for me, I can hear things and then they'll just sort of rattle around in my brain. I'm an introvert and I'm an internal processor. So not that you'd know that since I babble and babble and babbled at you every day on the podcast, but I am an internal processor. So I will hear this, I will read these things, and then, oh, an hour from now, a day from now, a week or a month from now, I'll be like, oh, that's awesome. It'll just occur to me. I should have said that, or that was helpful. So I hope you can take these words, not necessarily my words, but the words of God, the words from Psalm 16. I hope you can take them with you through your day, through whatever you have going on today, and that you will feel yourself in the presence of God at some point during this day. That is all the time that we have for this podcast. I thank you so much for joining me. I hope you'll join me again tomorrow when we will be looking at the second of the assigned New Testament readings. This one is from the book of 1 Peter, and so we'll be looking at that tomorrow. Thank you once again, and as always, thank you for joining me. Again, I hope you'll join me next time. But in the meantime, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can, as I said, follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. We are at GSMC Podcast. Sometimes it's an underscore and sometimes it's a dash, so just try both. And you can download this and all of our podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and any app that you use on your mobile device. So as always, I thank you for joining me. I look forward to meeting with you again to discuss more of our texts assigned for this week, April 23rd. And as always, I leave you with the reminder that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.